Well, tonight we're going to continue preaching from the book of Philippians. I love this book, and we're trying to understand the implications of the gospel into our daily lives and into our church life. And I'm excited tonight about Philippians chapter 2. I'd ask you to take your Bible and turn there. And you may not have a suit and tie like I do. That's totally fine. But if you are kind of comfortable at home there, that's okay too. But let's not be comfortable or lackadaisical in our approach to the Bible tonight. Let's be attentive and let's be excited about what God wants to say. Philippians 2 verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love. By the way, there is, right? And Paul is using this as a rhetorical way to help us to remember how much we have in Christ. He says, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Tonight, we're going to open up this book of Philippians, and we're going to learn about our fellowship in the gospel. What kind of friendship, what kind of fellowship should we enjoy because we are in Christ? And certainly it is different indeed from that which is known by the world in which we live. It is a fellowship that is blessed. It is a fellowship that is reassuring, and it is a fellowship that should be encouraging one to the other. Now, there was great concern for Paul as he wrote the book of Philippians from a jail cell in Rome. And as he was writing during this time of imprisonment, the church was concerned for him and he was concerned for them. And one of his concerns, as we see here, is that they would continue in his absence to walk in unity and in like-mindedness as the church. You know, here we are in a time when I haven't seen some of you physically in a few months. That is really hard to comprehend. We have not been able to meet for some time. But it is my prayer, as it was with the Apostle Paul, that we're still, though we're not together, we're still praying, serving, loving, giving. We're still being the church, and we're still edifying one another. And this is what Paul's concern was for the Philippians, that this young church, young Christians, would carry on with the gospel. I love what Benjamin Franklin said at the signing of the Declaration of Independence. I think this is appropriate not only for our church, but probably for all churches right now that are really trying to decide at what point do we come back to assemble. There are some states with less virus and more conservative leadership that are coming back into assembly now. Our state has a little more virus, and we do not have conservative leadership. In fact, we've been told by some, just be patient, it could be months, is what was said. We'll be able to get back to worship along with the dog groomers and maybe some of the other bowling leagues and so forth. That's kind of where churches have literally been placed by Sacramento. And not to digress, but I simply say that we're in a time where we need to be like-minded in our faith response, in our following of Christ, and stepping out to do what God wants us to do. And I like what Benjamin Franklin said. He said it this way when they signed the Declaration. He said, we must all hang together, or most assuredly, we shall all hang separately. And this is what Paul was saying. He was saying, look at church, we need to hang together. And so I want to encourage you. I know that we're all over the valley, maybe all over the world as far as live stream goes, but let's hang together for our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how do we do that? And let's notice tonight how we can pull together in times like these. Notice, if you would, first of all, that our fellowship is a fellowship that is of the Spirit. It is a spiritual body, and that's really why we are together tonight, because we are one in the Spirit. We have a unity through the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in verse 1, if there be any consolation of Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit. Now, I want you to notice a few of the words here. In verse 1, the first word I want you to see is the word, if there be any consolation of Christ. This begins to help us understand the basis for our fellowship. It is the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is our consolation. It is something that we understand. If I were to come to you and say, isn't it a blessing, isn't it a consolation that Jesus is with us and that Jesus is our victory and that He is our hope? 99% of all Christians, in fact, 100% of Christians who know the Lord and who are walking with the Lord, when that question is asked, it just brings a blessed assurance to say, yeah, it's awesome. But that particular consolation is not known by someone who's without Christ. It actually means nothing to them. So we have a spiritual connection. We have a fellowship in the Spirit. And Paul's reminding them of that consolation. And he shows us here the conditions of this fellowship. What are some of the reasons or conditions upon which he can state that we have a fellowship in the Holy Spirit? And notice them. There's four of them listed here. First, there is the consolation in Christ. The word consolation speaks of a comfort or a solace. And this is one of the reasons that we can look at each other in difficult times and know that it's going to be okay. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. The word advocate is related to this word consolation. Consolation is the Greek word paraklesis and advocate parakletos, speaking of a God that comes alongside of us, a God that is with us. Hebrews 9 and 24, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So Jesus is for us. Jesus is with us, and we have consolation in Christ. The second principle that we see in verse 1 is the comfort that we have of His love. Now notice this, if any comfort of love, Paul is going to admonish them to be like-minded, but he's giving them the conditions for the admonition, the reasoning behind it. And he says, first of all, because we have the consolation of Jesus, and secondly, we have the comfort of Jesus, the comfort of His love. This is something that all of us who are in Christ, who have received His gospel, can experience together. We can know about it. We can talk about it. 2 Corinthians 1 and 3, blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. That's who He is. And He wants to comfort you today. You know, I've been around a few of our church members, not as many as I'd like to be. This past week, I did get to interact with just different ones, maybe walking across a parking lot at church or maybe in our neighborhood or just in town a couple times. And I've seen more than one member under kind of this burden of this time. I've seen a few tears in the corners of some eyes. I've seen some who are just burdened when they talk about church. I've seen some that are burdened about getting back. And I really appreciate that. But whatever the source of your burden, remember the source of your comfort. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And let Him comfort you today. If there be any consolation, if there be any comfort in Christ, you're going to get through this. And there is consolation. There is comfort in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, thirdly, there is the companionship of His Holy Spirit. Now, this is wonderful, and I want you to see it in verse 1. It says, if any fellowship of the Spirit. Now, this word fellowship is a word that we use sometimes when we talk about the Lord's table. It is the word koinonia, right? I've always liked that word since I was a kid, koinonia. It is fellowship. When we gather around the Lord's table, we are fellowshipping around the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here we see that there is also koinonia with the Spirit. Do you walk in the Spirit? Do you sense the leading of the Spirit? Has the Holy Spirit ever convicted you to repent of something? Does the Holy Spirit prompt you to witness? Does the Holy Spirit prompt you to write a note? Does the Holy Spirit help you to understand the Bible? Do you have fellowship with the Holy Spirit? You say, well, I have fellowship with Jesus, and yet God says that He wants us to walk in fellowship with His Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. Acts 9 and 31, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, they were multiplied. In the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Now, there's a lot of talk amongst pastors about what's church going to look like when we come out of this time of COVID-19. And there will be some a little slower to come back, perhaps with underlying conditions. And there will be some effects, maybe detrimental effects on some congregations. But I believe it is possible that the church can come forth from this trial stronger than when we entered into it. God is able to do that because of the fellowship and the inner working of the Holy Spirit that is given. And the early church testified of that. And when we read this in Acts chapter 9, we find that the comfort of the Holy Ghost was with that early church. Notice that in Acts 9:31 it says, and they multiplied even during the difficult time that they felt. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was with them in their infirmities. For Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, the Spirit was making intercession. The Spirit was walking with them. And so we see clearly in verse number 1 that we have a fellowship with the Lord because of His gospel. We have the consolation of Christ. We have the comfort of Christ. We have the companionship of the Holy Spirit. And notice fourthly, we have the compassion of God. Verse number 1. It says, if any bowels and mercies, God cares for you, and His Spirit is what we have in common. It is the unifying factor of the Holy Spirit of God for us. He is our unifying factor, and He is compassionate on us. These are some of the conditions that we find effectively working in the lives of the New Testament church and believers. So we see here that there is a clearly stated condition of fellowship. These four conditions are conditions that are clearly found in the New Testament church. But notice, secondly, the continuation of fellowship. So verse 2 says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded. In other words, okay, if you know what I'm talking about, if you've experienced the fellowship of the Spirit, the comfort of God, the consolation of Jesus, if that's who you are, if you're a part of this body, this dynamic body, then, Paul the Apostle is saying to us here, then I want you to walk according to the fellowship of the Spirit. I want you to continue in that like-minded way. So let's notice this. It says in verse number 2, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded. All right? Let's say that phrase together. Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded. What a wonderful truth. Paul said, I know that you're burdened that I'm in prison, but if you want to make me happy, then walk in accordance with Jesus and the Holy Spirit and be faithful. And I cannot agree more. What a blessing to see people who maybe are in different places, different work hours, swing shifts, day shifts, night shifts. But wherever we go, we're walking in the Spirit. We're showing forth the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we're in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. There is a like-mindedness, if you will. And he says that ye be like-minded. It speaks of being in unison. Now, we have beautiful music here at Lancaster Baptist. And when we get back, we may have our choir. We may have part of the choir sing one service, part of the choir sing the next service. I don't know how it might look with social distancing. But I know this. One of the things that Brother Williams will talk to the choir about is singing in unison, right? And that's why some of us have never been in the choir. Either we recognize that we would hinder unison, or they would tell us that we would hinder unison, and we don't want that either. But when we read the word like-minded, it's an interesting word. It speaks of harmony. It speaks of living in harmony. It's one thing, and I've seen musicians who could sing great harmony, but they couldn't get along with each other, right? God says, hey, I'm going to tell you something more important than how you sound is how you live. And I want you to live in harmony. And he goes on with this in verse 2. He says, having the same love and having one accord. And this word one accord, again, speaking of living harmoniously. And I remember a Peanuts cartoon some years ago, and Lucy storms into the room where Linus is watching television, and she screams, I can't get along with this family. I give up. And I hope you haven't been saying that lately. And Linus pensively says, where do you go to give up? In other words, let's not give up, but let's grow in, and let's grow in the Spirit. And so tonight we see one of the ramifications of the presence of Jesus in our life is that we have fellowship in the Spirit, that no matter where we are, we can walk together in comfort and in fellowship and with one accord because we are one in the Spirit. And I know for some, you know, that's just an old song, you know, they used to sing it along with Kumbaya, you know, we are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. Hey, listen, if you know Jesus Christ, those are more than just phrases. That should be the reality of life. There ought to be a love in our hearts when we see one another. And frankly, there should be a longing to be with our like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ. That should be something that we're looking forward to, is just when we get to be with the Lord. So, our fellowship in the Spirit. Notice secondly here in this text, our friendship from the heart. There is a fellowship that begins with Jesus, and then it becomes a friendship. So, let me illustrate it this way. You get saved, and you're in the church maybe 6 months or 12 months, And you're glad you're saved and you're growing in the Lord and you're aware of His presence and you're shaking hands with people and you're coming back and you're starting to learn some names. But over time, there is a friendship that bonds. Terry and I have experienced this in our 10 o'clock prayer meetings with so many of our church family these past several weeks because these are friends. These are people that we know and we have laughed and cried together. It started with this commonality of the Spirit. It started with our faith. It started with Jesus, and we knew that we were one in the Spirit. But there's a point where it becomes more than a theological truth, and it becomes a practical, everyday experience. And don't let this time of social distancing keep you from experiencing the friendship that God intends from His body and for His body. Notice in verse 3 it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. There comes a point in time when we want to be a blessing to those others who are in the Spirit and walking in service with us. There must be a right motive here. It says that we're to walk without strife. Friend, whether it's in your home right now with your spouse, your children, wherever you are, this is not the time for strife. This is not the time for arguments. And sometimes you may not even realize that you've done something offensive or said something offensive, and normally that's us husbands. We can just kind of go through doing things and not even realizing that we missed something important or said something stupid. But when we realize it, it's so important that we would repent, that we would say we're sorry. It's important that we also don't find ourselves making big out of little things, but that we just give things to the Lord. Why? Because God doesn't want us to have strife in our relationships. He wants us to walk in the unity of the Spirit. That's why Christianity really promotes the principles of walking with humility and walking with forgiveness. Why? Because God wants His people to walk in unity and in friendship. He wants us to model what friendship really is all about. Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride cometh contention. When we make a big thing out of something little, that's normally our hurt feelings. That's normally our pride. And it hinders our friendship. 1 Timothy 6:3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to his doctrine, which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, evil surmisings. From such withdraw thyself, the Bible says. You see, someone that comes into a spiritual fellowship and wants to use carnal divisive techniques, speaking against someone else, tearing someone else down to lift themselves up, they ought to feel very foreign when they come to a spiritual church. When all they want to talk about is divisive things and criticizing and all of that, and they come into a spiritual church, they ought to feel like, whoa, I don't really feel comfortable here. No one's talking back to me against that person. No one wants to cut someone else down. These people love God. They love one another. They love their pastor. They love their church. And I'm telling you that a carnal Christian should feel very unwelcome in a spiritual church because we are friends. And we may not agree on every single thing. You can be friends with someone if you're a Cowboys fan and they're a San Francisco fan. You can be a friend with someone who has a different culture, a different background. You can be friends with someone who has different interests. Why? Because if we have Christ in common, we should be able to love one another and appreciate and grow in the presence of the Holy Spirit. This is a friendship that is given by God. And it's so important that we move forward without strife, without vain glory, that is self-promotion, that is worrying about who gets the credit. So important to realize what the Bible says, that without Christ, we can do nothing. You see, in the church, when something good happens, we want to give God the glory. And so he says there in verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. These are the motives that God says, I don't want you to have those in my church. Then notice not only the right motives, but there's the right means also. The right means. Notice this, if you would. In verse number 3, it says, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Now, be careful in your marriages. Sometimes you hear people talking about, well, you know, my husband, you know, he just doesn't know what he's doing in this. Or my wife, she doesn't know. Look at, instead of putting a wedge between you over what you know or don't know, why don't you recognize God meant you to weave together your strengths and weaknesses and be one? That's the whole idea. Yes, there are many things my wife surpasses me in intellectually and in many different ways and spiritually and in knowledge of things. And there may be things that I know that she doesn't know in areas where I'm stronger, that she is not as strong. But God brought us together in marriage so that we could complement one another. God's intention in spiritual relationships is not competition. It's complementarianism. He calls us to complement one another. And the same is true in the church. You say, well, that guy's not like me, and that gal doesn't know what I know, and I have this, and I have, wait a minute. God says, no, you're a body. You don't have to tell God what is in his body. This is his body. And yes, someone might say, well, I do this, or someone else does that, but that's the whole design of it. And we need to esteem others for what their contribution is. We need to say, I'm thankful that he can sing, and I'm thankful that he can teach, and I'm thankful that those ushers do that, or I'm thankful that the live stream guys do this. So God places into the body for those types of purposes, and this is where friendship is formed, when we're not competing with one another, but we're appreciating one another. And be sure to practice that in your own family life this week. So God says our fellowship is different. The gospel made the difference. We can fellowship in the Spirit. We have the consolation and the comfort and the company of the Holy Spirit, and we don't always know everybody as well, but as we hang around in the Spirit, friendships form. We have the fellowship of the Spirit, and that develops friendships, marriages, and a wonderful friendship that is from a spiritual heart. Well, as Paul wrote to the church, he said, I want you to have fellowship in the Spirit. I want you to have friendship from the heart. But notice thirdly tonight, if you're taking some notes, that there should be a focus on the needs of others. A focus on the needs of others. Now listen very carefully. 99% of the time in your life and mine, we're going to get frustrated and depressed when we have expectations of what we should get, what I should get. I see people as they grow older, either growing more miserable because they're not getting what they thought they should get out of life, and they tend to push people away when they get that mindset, or growing sweeter because they realize that life is about serving and giving. It's not about just necessarily my expectations. I was talking to a pastor a couple of days ago, and he's in his 51st year of pastoring the same church, and the church is vibrant and God's blessing. And I said, now you passed your 50th year, how's it going? He said, these are the best of times. I'll never forget that. He said, these are the best of times. And I want you to know that God wants you to experience the best of times. It's his desire that as we focus on others, that we would continually find his blessing. So notice as you would here, if we're going to have a focus on others, verse 4 says, look not every man on his own things. Okay? All right? Let's not start every day thinking about self or what we should expect simply from someone else. We need to look past our interest. The word look means to mark. Don't mark someone based upon what you want to get from them, but rather what can you give to them? Husbands, if we would have that mindset, it changes a marriage, and wives are the same. And so look past our self-interest and look to the interest of others or to the needs of others. Did you see that in verse 4? But every man also on the things of others. I want to challenge you, church. Wake up tomorrow morning and ask this question. Who can I bless today, right? Who can I bless today? Now, some of us that are involved in leadership or management, we might be thinking, okay, I've got to get all these done and I've got to delegate and I've got to get this done. I've got to call this guy, remind that gal. I've got to do all of that. And that's okay. That's a part of life, but wait a minute. Why don't you reverse that this week? And why don't you make your list? And before asking someone to do something, why don't you think, how can I bless them? How can I compliment them? How can I bless them? How can I encourage them? Who can I think about in our church that might need some help right now? Looking on the needs of others. That's what God calls us to do. And that's what friends do. That's what Christian friends do. Now, I read an article the other day that told me that since this pandemic, that phone calls are going way up. That was awesome. In fact, listen to this. Verizon is now handling 800 million phone calls a day and twice as many on Mother's Day, which, of course, is next week. Don't forget that. Can you imagine that? 800 million calls a day going. And I just think that's wonderful. In fact, I think texts are like, you know, in the realm of communication, they're like a C or a D on the grade scale, right? Emails like a B or a C. A card, an A or a B. Talking to someone, definitely an A. Make sure that you express with your heart to someone how you feel for them. And we see that when we look to the needs of others, we're encouraging them. We're being a friend to them, like Jonathan, whose heart was knit to David. And he just didn't forget David. And even when his own father wanted him to forsake David, Jonathan said, no, this is a spiritual bond that we have. And when you have a friendship like we're speaking about tonight, you have attention to someone's hurts, like the Good Samaritan who cared for someone else. Now, Paul is saying, yes, I'm socially distanced. I'm in a Roman prison. I'm bound to a soldier. I can't be with you, but I want to hear. I want to hear that you're fellowshipping in the Spirit. I want to hear that you're being friends with one another and encouraging one another. And I want to hear that you're focusing on one another's needs. Now, I don't know how it might look when we come back to church. I don't think I'm going to preach with a mask. I think that would be ridiculous. Don't you think that looks a little bit ridiculous? I mean, I don't know. I think I've got about 12 feet from here to the front row. Maybe we won't sit on the front row. And it might be a little bit different as we come back, and maybe with some masks and things. There we go. And it might be some spacing between us. And I understand that. And there's some space between us right now because we're socially distanced. My wife and I braved it. We went to Walmart the other day. And so there we were, 6 feet apart from the next person, following the lines, going where we're supposed to go. We were distanced. And we're distanced right now as a church. But let us not be spiritually distant. Let us be fellowshipping with the Spirit. Let us be fellowshipping and encouraging one another towards one another. And let us be looking to the needs of others during this time. And yes, we're going to deliver meals to hospitals and needy and the elderly and all these organized programs. But you can, in the presence of the Spirit, make a difference in someone's life this week. And I pray that God will use you in that way. And there might be someone watching me right now. You don't have fellowship with the Spirit. You don't even know that the Holy Spirit indwells you. And you know what? The Holy Spirit doesn't indwell someone who is outside of the friendship and fellowship of Christ. You must be born again by the Spirit. Someone does not receive the Spirit into their life until they first accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And you see, when you realize that as a sinner, you were separated from God, and we all fall short of the glory of God, and you realize that Jesus, as the Son of God, shed His blood on the cross for our sin, and you turn to Jesus and you say, Lord Jesus, as a sinner, I call to You to be my Savior. And when you call upon the Lord, He comes into your heart and He saves you. And then the Spirit of God indwells you at that moment. Simultaneously, you're born again into the family of God. And now then, the Spirit of God becomes your comfort and your guide. And now then, those weird people that are called Christians, you're thankful for them and you're getting to know them and you're getting new friends. But where does it begin? It begins with Jesus. It begins with His gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And friend, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, why don't you do that right now? Why don't you just pray and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. And I ask You to forgive me, to come into my heart. I'm turning to You now and trusting in You as my Savior. And if you have prayed that prayer today, be sure to email me and let me know, because I want to follow up and help you to know more about Christ. But you can call on Him right now, and you can repent of sin and accept Christ as Savior. In a moment's time, you can be saved, born again the Bible way. But friend, you'll never know the joy of walking in the Spirit until you accept Christ by His Spirit. And if you have accepted Christ and you're not walking in the comfort of His Spirit, in the consolation of His Spirit, if you're not enjoying the harmony of godly relationships, don't waste what Jesus wants to do in you. Put your selfishness down, your pettiness down, your pride down, and say, Lord, this week it's not going to be about me. It's going to be about You and Your Spirit and how I can live in harmony with my family, with my fellow believers, by the power and presence of Your Holy Spirit. That's the difference the gospel makes in the life of a church.